How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, list goes on and on. This is the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Monday through Friday, we're here at noon. Sunday, of course, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, 2 hours today live. It is our official, at least for Sports Byline USA, WWE Payback pay-per-view pre-show. For the next 2 hours, we will be previewing the show. We'll talk about the pre-show matches live here on the air as they take place. We'll give you the rundown of the show, our predictions, what we think is going to happen in all of the matches, and so much more. Lots of Payback talk here today. Also, a lot of news from the weekend. There was a UFC last night with the retirement of Mark Munoz, as well as a Frankie Edgar Uriah Faber main event. Ring of Honor ran 4 days over the last week with New Japan stars. They had both iPay-per-views, video-on-demand shows, live events. We can talk about those as well. Plus, the latest news coming out of the Nevada State Athletic Commission and their very, very serious changes to the drug testing procedures. The days of getting popped for a performance-enhancing drug, getting a 9-month suspension during a time where you probably weren't going to fight for another 9 months anyway, that's it. Now, you get popped for steroids, a mandatory, on your first offense, 3-year suspension. And of course, if you keep failing eventually, which would pretty much be impossible because after a couple of 3- and 4-year suspensions, you're just not fighting again, but you can be suspended for life now by the Nevada State Athletic Commission. This will likely be spreading to other commissions as well. Major, major changes coming to mixed martial arts and boxing as well. We can talk about that. Plus, it'll be open lines all day today. I'll throw out the numbers here in just a moment. Plenty of numbers to call. And we'll be back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Who is that angry man right there who's going to teach us a lesson we'll never forget? It's Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We got Mike Sempervivi here, also of WrestlingObserver.com. It is our 2-hour pre-show for the WWE Payback pay-per-view, which is coming up tonight exclusively. Well, it's not exclusive, really. It's on the WWE Network. It's on pay-per-view. All of the usual places to buy a WWE pay-per-view. Unlike, however, Elimination Chamber, which will, in fact, be exclusive to the WWE Network. And Mike, have you got all of the Cheetos and the pizza rolls ready for tonight's pay-per-view spectacular?
Yes, absolutely. The wife is out working, so it's just going to be the boy and I for a while before he's got to go to sleep tonight because he's got school tomorrow, and school is very important, kids. Stay in school. But before you go to school, watch the WWE Network and see what happens on Payback. And unfortunately for Avery, because he will have to go to sleep early, he is going to be stuck with matches like the Meta Powers against the Ascension. And
did you say the Meta Powers?
That's what it says on Wikipedia. The Meta Powers, Curtis Axel and Macho Mandel against the Ascension, the mighty names of Connor and Victor.
Can you imagine going to all the trouble of getting the name, the Mega Powers, and probably spending a lot of money trademarking it, and then not bothering to use it later?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's apparently what they're doing, so there you go. We have got the Payback show here tonight that we can talk about. There's certainly
I got a question. Before we even get into that, since you brought up old names, what was the name of Hulk Hogan's character in No Holds Barred? It was Rip something, right?
I think.
Have they tried to use that again or any of those names from? Because I know, like, when Joe Ledoux, who was in the movie, came into the WWF, he was the headbanger as he was in the movie. But have they ever used any of the names from that movie after the initial Zeus Hogan match?
Not to my knowledge, no. Not to my knowledge. But if I'm mistaken, I'm sure somebody will correct us here very, very quickly. Let's see here. The Meta Powers, you say. That is, in fact, what they're calling them. And there appears to be another link. It links to the Mega Powers. So maybe if I go down there, it'll tell me what this Meta Powers thing is all about. On the May 5 episode of Main Event, Damian Sandow adopted a new Macho Mandel gimmick reminiscent of Savage's with the same music and similar attire. He then wrestled a match against Curtis Axel, whose Axelmania gimmick had elements similar to Hogan's. However, the match was interrupted by the Ascension. On the May 11th episode of Raw, they had a rematch and were again interrupted by the Ascension. This time, they fought off the Ascension together and then shared a handshake reminiscent of the original Mega Powers. Commentators on both shows made several mentions of the Mega Powers regarding the pairing. Later, they were officially named the Meta Powers. How meta?
Do you know what would be the most...
I guess that's the gimmick.
Do you know what would be the most meta thing in the world?
What would that be?
Imagine now if this thing continues to take off, but they want to then change their gimmicks. And then they both portray characters from Kurt Hennig's past.
Hey, one could be Mr. Perfect and one could be...
West Texas Redneck?
That's right. I'd forgotten about the West Texas Rednecks.
Can you imagine how epic...
Try to block Curtis it out of my mind is probably a better term.
Curtis Axel would have to be the West Texas Redneck, and Sandow would be Mr. Perfect. Can you imagine those two things coming together? What that could be?
Well, I still need to imagine these meta powers coming together, which we're going to see tonight if you are watching the pre-show for this pay-per-view. And I'm waiting for the person on Twitter to say, Brian, if only you'd watched SmackDown, you would have known what happened. To which my response is, if I have to spend 2 hours of my life watching SmackDown to find out that the Mega Powers are now the Meta Powers, that's a waste of 2 hours of my life. That's all I'll say.
Hey, they've got a lot of bad feelings with me. They get two or three, good shows in a row. Then I'll be more worried about going back to them instead of seeing what happens later on in short clip form.
Now, before we go into the preview here, later today, we are going to be taking open line phone calls, and we're going to use two different phone numbers. We are going to use the normal Wrestling Observer Live number, which is 855-478-4478. And we are going to use the sports byline number as well, 1-800-878-PLAY. Don't call either number yet because I'm not going to pick up. But I'm letting everybody know because Laura here has once again bet $4 that Ryan from Cumberland is the first caller. And I will hereby swear to the Lord above, I will not work this contest. I will simply pick up the first number, and if it's Ryan, she wins, and if not, you know where to send it, whalescout.org. The pre-show today, everybody, starting in about an hour. It is the Meta Powers against the Ascension in a tag team match. The Ascension is on the descent, and it's not even meant to be a joke. It's just a fact. They should be called the Descension. They are facing Curtis Axel and Macho Mandow. I would be surprised if in the first major match in the career of the Meta Powers they lost, but I suppose anything is possible. What do you think is going to happen here, Mike?
I can foresee the Meta Powers, even though they are comedy. They need to put these teams in the elimination chamber in 2 weeks anyway. I would assume they're going to be in there, one of these two teams, and the Meta Powers. I would actually go with this and see how far you can continue to roll with it. I mean, you got the New Day, heel champions, and you got Cesaro and Kid. But outside of that, I mean, at some point they're going to need somebody else to face, one of those two teams at least. So I'd rather go with the Meta Powers right now, considering the Ascension was, on the descent, and frankly, we're pretty stillborn.
Then we've got the first match on the main card. These could all change in terms of the order, but I would guess actually the first match will be The New Day against Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. That's my prediction. 2 out of 3 falls match for the WWE Tag Team titles. I'm going to make a prediction here. When this match is over, we're all going to ask ourselves why they bothered making this a 2 out of 3 falls match. I would bet that the first two falls go quickly, and then the third fall is lengthy, and at the end of the day, there was no reason for it to be 2 out of 3 falls. I would be pleased if it turned out that I was wrong in my prediction, but WWE is very, very patterned, and this seems to be the way that they operate for the majority of their 2 out of 3 falls matches. So that is my prediction, and I would guess that the New Day retains the titles.
Yes, I think this must continue so the New Day wins, but this isn't just an issue that's got to do with WWE. I mean, CMLL in Mexico, they do the same thing. The only chance of you getting a 2 out of 3 falls match with a little bit of drama in the first two falls is usually in Japan, and that's it.
By the way, speaking of the $4 to whalescout.org, I would like to thank Nate Lewis, who, if you recall, I donated to his Get Kane Some Gear GoFundMe. Which, by the way, they got all the money and they have sent the gear to Kane. And hey, who knows? Maybe he'll show up wearing it tonight. I wouldn't hold my breath. But Nate has since donated back to whalescout.org. So a big thanks to Nate Lewis for his re-donation that he provided here today. Very proud of him for that very generous donation there.
Which is tax deductible.
That's correct. We've got Ryback and Bray Wyatt in a singles match, and we had a disagreement about this the other day, Mike, because you think they're going to do it right, and I think they're going to do it the way they normally do it. So I guess we'll see who is correct here, but traditionally, and I don't have any idea why, because Mike's idea is better, the heel should win the first match, and then the babyface has to fight for his revenge, and then he presumably wins the second match, and then you do a third match, and I guess depending on who you want to do something with, that person would win the third match. Well, in WWE, for God only knows what reason, they have a tendency to put the babyface over in the first match. And then the heel comes back and they do something dastardly. They lay them out. They attack their mother. Who knows? And that leads to a rematch. Hopefully, your way, Mike, is the way that they do it, with Bray Wyatt getting the win. But I don't know why I don't have faith.
Because they usually do it the way you think they're going to do it. But Bray Wyatt's had a pretty good year. And I'll, you know, even though his promos are what they are, if you don't like them, you think they're boring, you think they're just rambling, you know, hey, I can't disagree with you. He doesn't bother me anywhere near as much as a lot of other guys do. But he did lose to The Undertaker, but he dumped Daniel Bryan at the Royal Rumble. He's had a pretty good year. I will just hope to continue they do this right, because if Ryback kills Bray in the first match or beats him with the shell shock, what do you got? I mean, even if he wins in some other fashion, I mean, I just don't, it does not going to get, it's not going to get anywhere near as enough mileage, you know, for this feud as it needs, because I think you need something hot to start it, because even though it's decent right now, they haven't started wrestling yet.
And, well, you're giving it way more credit than I am.
Well, I don't like it, but it's going to get really old. Even if you like it right now, it's going to get really old really fast, in my opinion. So you better start it off as good as you can and as nefarious as you can.
I'm going to argue after the break why Bray Wyatt just needs to turn babyface right now. We'll talk about that, plus more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. No calls yet. I saw that, whoever that was trying to call in. We're going to finish up this preview of the show, and then we will start taking phone calls here in a moment. I'll throw out the phone lines in a bit, but don't call yet. Got to make sure that we do this on the level for this bet with Laura here on who will be the first caller on the unscreen line. That way I make sure we're on the level. I'll do the unscreen line as opposed to the screen sports byline line. But anyway, I was going to argue before the break that they got to turn Bray Wyatt babyface because, listen, I'm bored. I have seen the same heel promos talking about whatever for a long time now. And it was great at the beginning because it was new and it was different and he has great delivery. But we're now to the point where I've seen it. You hear one Bray Wyatt promo, you heard them all. And now it's the same promo on the Ryback. Ryback can't even cut a promo himself, at least to the level of a real top guy, in my opinion. And thus, we've got a guy cutting the same promo he's always cut against a guy who can't really cut a promo, and they're going to have a match together. And there's nothing on the line. It doesn't matter one bit who wins this match. And so I don't care. I don't care one bit about this feud. Maybe they'll have such a tremendous match tonight that all of a sudden I'll care. But something's got to change, and since Bray Wyatt has been a heel for so long, and they're clearly not going to elevate him to the very top level, let's have him do a babyface run, see how it goes.
Ryback has been winning by pinfall in the house shows that they're doing. So
house shows are different.
I know, there is that, because Bray Wyatt has not lost on television, I don't believe, if my scan of this database is correct here. He has not lost on TV with the exception of the Undertaker match since Tribute to the Troops.
Wow. It's pretty impressive.
You'd think they talk about that, but...
Yeah. Sounds like a party going on at your house. Is everybody coming over for the pay-per-view?
No, that's just Avery. This is what happens when she's working.
It's funny, is he's so loud, he sounds like an army of people.
You know, they're louder than cats. I mean, I think cats run around a little bit more, but thank God there's only one going nuts right now instead of, like, can you imagine having like four of these things running around?
No,
here?
I can't.
Wreck and shop.
What is he yelling about? He's by himself.
I have no idea. He knows I'm doing this show, and he just wants a little bit more attention. Plus, he's just jacked up, which I don't know where he gets that from.
Has he had a Red Bull today or something?
No, it's he is not. Just Gatorade, I think, has been the only thing with sugar. But yeah, he's just getting all fired up out there doing something.
So Naomi and Tamina will be facing the Bella Twins in a tag team match. And obviously what would make the most sense is if one of them pinned Nikki Bella to set up a championship match. For some reason, I still don't. Here's another one. This is classic WWE. In the old days, you would do a tag match on television, and it would set up a championship match on on Payback. Completely distracted by this. This is the downside of having a great connection right here, is I can hear him from thousands of miles away.
He's wrestling somebody out there. He's
wow. So anyway, as
just
I was
dropping
saying,
an elbow off the couch onto the floor, I can just foresee the mess on break when I go out there.
Sure. So, as I said, in the old days, you'd do a tag match on television to set up a championship match on the pay-per-view. But for some reason, what they've been doing of late is we have title matches for free on television, and then they do some sort of screw job finish to lead to a tag team match. I don't know why. I can't explain it, but this is what they do. So I guess going in reverse, that would mean that probably, I don't know, Naomi pins Nikki Bella is my prediction here.
Again, this is another one of those, why put Naomi and Tamina together if this isn't going to be a thing? You made it a little bit of a big deal from the start. It doesn't matter if the Bella Twins win or lose anyway. So, yeah, Naomi and her quest for the title there should continue, and they should get the win.
Looking back over the history of this this woman's title. So in the last three shows, there have been two tag matches that were set up by championship matches on TV. There's been one title match in the middle. And if I go back one more, there's another title match. So it looks like they may be alternating. Seems to be fast lane. Let's go back one more prior to that. The Royal Rumble. What did they do at the Royal Rumble? Let's find out if they're actually alternating. They are. It's crazy. Let me go back one more. I'm figuring out WWE booking as we speak, because it seems to be alternating every pay-per-view. How about that? Okay, one more. One more, and I will have proven my theory beyond a shadow of a doubt. If I go back to Survivor Series and it's a tag match, let me see here. That was a multi-person match. Oh, it was another. Okay, so here's what they seem to be doing.
That counts.
For all of 2015, at least, they have been alternating singles title matches with tag team matches. So it's just the exact same booking over and over again. You do a title match on television, people run in, it sets up a tag match on the pay-per-view. On the pay-per-view, somebody bids a champion, either there or on television, which sets up a championship match at the next show. And then they do a rematch of that match on television, people run in, and it sets up a tag match on the pay-per-view after that. So that seems to be the, I can figure it out now. So that appears to be where we're going. That was easy. Oh.
By the way, Naomi and Tamina -430 in these odds I'm looking at. The Bella Twins +310, Bray Wyatt -300, Ryback +220.
These can all change. Did you hear about that guy that got mad at me for giving away spoilers because we read odds here on the show?
Yes.
Spoilers for a live event.
That's what gets
that's
me.
That's pretty, like, impressive.
Even if when the Olympics are halfway across the world and there's a massive time difference, I mean, still, these are live things going on. You know, yes, it is hard to avoid social media, but when it comes to professional wrestling results, if you cannot avoid a message board, a wrestling website, which would be the only place you would see that, or Twitter or Facebook, or I guess Instagram as well, tough. You deal with it. It's, you know, the people that get so upset over spoilers for events that happened hours ago just because they haven't seen it, that's too bad.
If I could give away spoilers for live events, you know how much money I could make? It's crazy. I would not be, actually, I'd probably still be doing this, but I'd be doing whatever I wanted. Just put it that way.
Movie scripts and screens and screener copies and all that, all of that stuff comes out all of the time, and there are spoilers way before these movies come out most of the time, and certainly once they debut, the spoilers are everywhere, and people, it doesn't seem to affect anybody's enjoyment with that. Yes, I guess they will know you a little bit.
Dude, I knew spoilers for the next Star Wars a year ago.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you anything they come true.
It's about the art of it. I mean, Jesus, just a little bit ridiculous.
We have Dolph Ziggler versus Sheamus in a singles match. And this is one of those classic undercard matches. A lot of these matches are probably going to be good, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Does it matter if Ziggler or Sheamus wins? Nope. But I will hereby predict Sheamus.
Yeah. Might as well.
Ziggler won on the last show, even though he was humiliated afterwards.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, even though it really wasn't a win there, just because he's Dolph Ziggler, I think Sheamus wins. Now, the bigger question, does Sheamus have the slick back, long red mohawk, or does he just have the spiky red mohawk?
Spiky one. I can tell you what's going to happen in this match as well. Sheamus is going to win. Ziggler is going to beat him up afterwards. And then exactly like last month, Ziggler will make Sheamus kiss his ass. And that will set up a third match between the two at the next Elimination Chamber show.
I don't want to see that out of Sheamus.
Well, too bad. King Barrett
like,
and Neville.
Again, this is like the running away from the Nexus thing with him. I mean, you keep getting chances with Barrett and Sheamus, especially because the crowd still reacts to them. And you keep doing things like that and then wonder why they're not over to the level that they should be.
King Barrett against Neville. I would bet that King Barrett gets his big win back here.
That would be probable. Although, hey, you never know. I mean, it's Neville, again, yes, it's a lot of the same moves, but damn, those moves are really good. And I don't know, you know, him getting the, it wasn't the visual win on John Cena. What's the word I'm looking for? You know, being, you know, just
the visual pin.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, it's what it was. I mean, hitting the move and knowing that, you know, it looked like he, you know, the perception of he could pin him now, but before the run in there by Rusev at the end, maybe they do go with Neville. I mean, Barrett can lose to Neville and it can be a really good match that helps both guys. It's not exactly what you think of naturally when you think of a lot of WWE undercard matches, but let's hope that that could be the case. Either way, as long as it's really good and both come out of it better, I'm completely fine with that.
And John Cena and Rusev in an I Quit match for the U.S. title. I've heard many, many good predictions about what they could do in this match. One of them is the one I came up with, which is Lana throws in the towel for Rusev. And whether that be a real towel or she's wearing something white. If she's wearing something white tonight, I'm certain that's what they're doing. Which probably means she'll wear something white and they won't do it. But still, if she comes out in something white, that's my prediction. I also heard a prediction today from somebody who said that what you do is you have John Cena get laid out or something or tied to the corner so that he's trapped. And then you have Rusev put the accolade on Lana and John Cena is forced to quit to save her, which is a great idea, except for one problem. They just did it with Edge about 5 months ago. And I think it's too early to do it again.
I don't think you need to. What happened to that lawsuit from Edge and Christian as well, by the way?
Oh, you know, it's like the one with Brock. It'll be wrapped up in the court system for years.
It does happen that way. He doesn't have to put Lana in the accolade, for Christ's sakes.
As Mike mocks it, you just know it's going to happen now. Let's talk about this after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Elver is here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And the phone lines will be open in 3, 2, 1. The phone number is 855-478-4478. That is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478. That is the unscreened lines. However, watch your language or you will be banished forever. The Sports Byline USA line, 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 1-800-878-PLAY. Going to start taking phone calls here in a moment as we wrap up this preview of the WWE Payback Show. By the way, I didn't get a chance to read this on Friday, but here's a quick rundown of what you've missed, either as a subscriber or not as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. This is a sampling of the shows that we did over the last week. Friday, we had a classic audio, an interview with the former Derek Bateman, a.k.a. EC3. as well as an After Dark with Carl Stern and a Figure Four Weekly talking Sweeps Week and wrestling. Sunday, Wrestling Observer Radio talking UFC Fight Pass, Brian and Vinny show, doing the SmackDown guessing game, and Brent pled his case for his own show at WrestlingObserver.com. Monday, Figure Four Daily with Filthy Tom Lawler, which we do every week, as well as Wrestling Observer Radio talking Raw, Elimination Chamber, Daniel Bryan's health, and more. A back issue of The Observer from March 23rd, 1998. Also Tuesday, Brian and Vinny's show talking Raw with Craig, Nitro, a contest. Wednesday, Figure Four Daily with Dr. Lucha, Wrestling Observer Radio talking Raw ratings. And of course, Wrestling Observer Live, which we do every single day. And a new Observer newsletter talking Elimination Chamber and Mayweather breaking all those records. Thursday, Observer Radio talking Lucha Underground. Tons of mailbag and a Brian and Vinny show with Granny. All of this, plus every episode of Wrestling Observer Live, available only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. If you are not a subscriber, you're missing out on 7,000 hours of audio. Every show that we do is archived commercial-free for subscribers within about 15 minutes after the conclusion of the show. You'll never run out of audio. If you like this show, it is guaranteed that you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So sign up today, because I got two more shows coming up tonight, only for subscribers. Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave and Filthy Tom, Brian and Vinny's show with myself and Vinny. All of that coming up after Payback, so don't miss out. To the phones, unscreen line, I don't know who this is, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Oh, man, you just cost me $4. What's up, Ryan?
I want to tell WWE fans how to avoid a near-death experience and possibly injury.
Please do.
What happened?
This will be worth $4 if it's good.
Don't play near a train? Go ahead.
Basically, what happens is if you pretend you're Bob Backlund, you receive a discount on your ticket, pretty much, because you don't have to pay for the parking fee.
If you pretend you're Bob Backlund, you get a discount on your parking fee?
Well, you don't have to pay the parking fee because Bob Backlund walks to the arena from his hotel.
So basically, you go to the hotel and then you walk to the building.
Right, because you have to pay the parking fee.
But what about the fee to park in the parking lot at the hotel?
There is no fee.
What are you talking about? There's always, you have to be, when you go to the hotel, you got to give me your license plate number. Otherwise, they'll find you parking illegally and perhaps ticket you.
I stayed at the hotel, so it was free.
Oh, so you stayed at the hotel.
Right.
Well, what if I don't stay at the hotel?
Then I guess you're out of luck.
How about that? Well, anything else of any value today here, Ryan?
Well, basically, the near-death experience was at Penn State, there's a lot of forums. I ended up on one of these forums. I was afraid someone was going to shoot me. I probably walked about 20 miles, and that's probably what resulted in my minor injury.
Well, what was your minor injury?
Pain in the back of my kneecaps and damaged my ankles, I think, from walking about 20 miles.
Oh, man, 20 miles you walked.
Why did you walk 20 miles?
Well, it was only a one-mile walk, but I got lost. But I did get to see a very good...
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Okay, wait a second. It was a one-mile walk, but you got lost, and thus you walked 20 miles. Is that correct?
Right.
So it took you 20 tries to find out where you were going?
I found a jogger that was pretty good-looking, and she was my savior.
I want to thank you very much for the call, Ryan. That was not worth my $4. Dang it.
I'd like to wish a happy belated birthday to friends of the site, Dennis Gorman, as well as UFC enhancement talent and F4W radio correspondent, Filthy Tom Lawler.
That's right. You owe Filthy Tom a happy birthday presentation.
I do, but you know what? Me trying to sing happy birthday, Tom Lawler, like Marilyn Monroe saying happy birthday, Mr. President, to John F. Kennedy, would just pale in comparison to that last phone call from Ryan in Cumberland, and we should perhaps move on to see what's next.
Why don't you just have the boy come in since he's being so loud and he can sing happy birthday?
That's no, forget. Well, you know, maybe possibly in the second half of the show, I may do that actually.
All right. So you were arguing against Lana being put in the accolade.
I think it's a little much to put her in the accolade. I think if you were going to do something like that, he could just grab her and she could act scared. And, you know, I think that would be enough. I don't think he'd have to break down and put her in the accolade for God's sakes. Now, if Putin was there, you know, maybe put him in the accolade, Lana would freak out. But anyway.
I just read yesterday that Putin had played, I think, hockey with a bunch of NHL players and scored 8 goals. Is that correct?
Yeah, was on a line with, like, Valerie Kaminsky and whoever else, Pavel Bure or something like that. Yet, amazingly enough, Vladimir Putin scores 8 goals. And I got to be honest, I know there's a lot of people who think he's a tyrannical leader. I don't know. I'm not in Russia, so I don't know how he rules. But you know what? Some of the action shots of him and Sambo or, you know, playing hockey or wrestling bears or whatever else it is that Putin does, it is rather entertaining.
The man is a great athlete. It's about all I can give him at this point. I don't want to have McCarthy coming after me. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Hello there.
Hey, this is Michael from Louisiana.
Michael, what's up?
I was going to call in and talk. I've been watching over Payback, and I'm just really bored with this show. Like, there's really nothing. I don't feel like it was properly built. I feel like it's kind of being thrown away, and that Elimination Chamber is going to be our real pay-per-view for the month.
Well, the only problem with your theory is I don't think they came up with the idea to do Elimination Chamber until they'd already had a card for this show. I mean, you may be right. At the end of the day, Elimination Chamber may be the big show of the month, but, I mean, they had this card in mind before they had the idea to do an Elimination Chamber. So,
yeah, but Brian, it took them a long time to roll it out. It is possible that, you know, trying to finish this thing off actually happened when, you know, by the time they thought Elimination Chamber was coming up. But one thing's for
well,
sure.
Well, let me say one thing about that. You're right about that, except for one thing. When they do these pay-per-views, the only matches that matter are the top matches. And they had those before Elimination Chamber. Yeah, they may have waited to do Bray Wyatt and Ryback and the Divas match and everything like that, but that stuff isn't going to sell one pay-per-view. It doesn't matter.
No, and that's true, although, you know, they've had a good reputation this year for getting the card out early. This has been the first one where they really haven't had a chance to do that. I mean, you know, last pay-per-view, they had everything laid out, you know, well in advance, at least, you know, the entire card goes. But one thing I think is for sure is that Elimination Chamber has taken away some of the impact of this show, because, again, you look at this show on paper. And yeah, you got Ryback and Bray Wyatt in the women's match, but you look at the other matches, and they're pretty good, you know, on paper. It's just the, you know, all the nonsense that goes around them and the fact that there's no real emotional attachment to a lot of these, I think, with the exception of Cena and Rusev.
All righty, let's go to the phones. The figure four line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello?
You're on the air. What's up?
Oh, hey, this is Jason. I'm calling from California.
What's happening, Jason?
I was wondering if they ever found out why David Taylor was at Chris Benoit's house before the police ever got there on the day he murdered his family.
I don't know if they ever found out. Maybe he was going over for brunch.
And then I was wondering, during when they did the special on Benoit, Steve Regal looked pretty upset, like he wouldn't even talk about him. It seemed like he knew already that he murdered. It seems like they went along with that show after they knew Benoit murdered his family.
I don't think it was as much that as I think that when William Regal heard the story that they were all found deceased, he did not believe for a second that somebody broke in and killed them. He probably thought it was more likely that Benoit had done it, because often when you have a situation like that where everybody is deceased, it is a murder-suicide. And so I don't think he knew, but I think he strongly suspected it, and I think he was right. And I want to thank you very much for the call. The phone number is 855-478-4478, as well as 1-800-878-PLAY. Give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. The other match for the show, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Randy Orton. Four-way for the WWE World Heavyweight title. If Rollins does not win, Kane is fired as a director of operations. Who's winning this match, Mike?
Well, hold on. Back to Cena and Rusev. I didn't give my prediction.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I am still hoping against hope that Lana and Rusev are not broken up. I know Vince cannot possibly fathom why anybody would want to boo Lana, and she needs less clothes and whatever else it is.
Well, he's
that
right.
Vince is thinking, but Rusev and Lana as a team are great. I think Rusev will be fine without her. I wonder when it comes to Lana and the women, you know, they're not big on managers. Are they going to make her wrestle? What's the deal going to be here? But I am hoping that they stay together. She throws in the towel on John Cena while he's doing, she plays cowardly the whole time. Rusev is terrible.
She throws in the towel for Cena?
Well, she makes it look like Cena thinks she's going to throw in the towel. I got to try to figure this out.
How does that work? You can't throw in the towel for the other guy.
That's right. It's not like a flag versus flag type thing. It's an I quit. Oh, God. Lana looks, she's getting made fun of the entire time. She's getting beaten down by Rusev the entire time.
It sounds like you.
But no matter what, somehow she screws John Cena and Rusev and Lana stay together. And Rusev gets a short little stint with this belt before Cena gets it back. And that's the whole impetus to introducing the new championship is this old U.S. title has got to go. It's got the stink of Rusev and Lana on it. And damn it, I need a new belt. So when Cena beats Rusev again, because this feud will continue, he will get the new belt after that. How about tying it together like that?
That was an awesome job using a great amount of passion to cover up for a terrible idea.
Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, Randy Orton.
I've done it many times.
I'm taking Space Mountain. I'm taking Seth
sure.
Rollins.
Yeah, that was one of the highlights of my career was my Space Mountain analogy. Yes, I think that Seth Rollins is going to win. I think Dean Ambrose was put in the match to lose. I will say this. I think it's possible Roman leaves with the belt. I think it's possible that an hour before this match, exactly like at WrestleMania, Roman is pulled into an office and he's told that he's actually winning this time. I think that that is a possibility here. But hey, we're going to find out in a couple of hours. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Brian, it's Nate from Tulsa.
Nate, what's happening?
Not much. Three things real quick. First, I wanted to match your donation that you made to the Kango Fund Me with a $25 donation to Whale Scout.
I saw that. I wished you a huge thank you on Twitter for that. Very much appreciated.
Not a problem. Second thing, I agree with you. I somewhat can see Roman Reigns winning the title tonight. I don't know. It's just something just telling me that they want to go ahead and just put the title on the guy.
Hey, they wanted to put the title on the guy at WrestleMania, and the fans screwed it up for him. And we've now had a couple of months with everybody cheering the guy, and Daniel Bryan is gone. Hey, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. Hey,
and
Nate.
It wouldn't shock me either.
Nate, stand by. We got to head to a break. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll take the rest of your call. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on the show. We only got a couple of minutes, but Nathan's here on the line. And anything else before we wrap it up here, Nathan?
Yeah, just real quick. I'm not sure, Brian, if you've been paying attention, but Misha Tate recently has come out and said she'd be willing to fight Cyborg at the catchweight of 140.
Oh, yeah?
Assuming UFC can make this fight happen, is that something you can see as a pay-per-view main or co-made event, or is this a strictly Fox Sports 1 card?
I think you'd have to put it on pay-per-view, but I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think UFC is going to allow Cyborg to do a catchweight. Because if she does a catchweight with Misha Tate, all of these people are going to start clamoring for Ronda to do the same thing. It puts Ronda in a bad spot. Just get down to 135 and do it like everybody else. Otherwise, you're going to feed into the people that think that Ronda's being a coward, which she is not. So I don't think you'll ever see it, but it is funny that Misha suggested that. And I want to thank you very much for the call and the donation, Nathan. I do appreciate that. We're about to head to break here, but thanks so much. Scout.org, obviously, is the address. And I would also like to note here that on Twitter, a couple of things. Ryan here says, I thought Brian Ladd proved Benoit didn't do it. Incorrect, Ryan. Incorrect. And Laura here, by the way, is very, very happy she won that bet as a result of Ryan. I won, Brian lost, me winner, she says. Hey, she won for real this time. I'll give it to her there, but it'll never happen again.
Oh,
anyway,
really? Man, listen to you.
Actually, it may. Listen, I'm an honest man, if nothing else. That was a legitimate, I'll always pick up the unscreen line first, and we'll do it that way. We got to head to the hourly break, everybody. We'll take calls when we come back. All of the phone lines will be open. So stick around. More, the WWE Payback Show is going to be kicking off. We got a lot of news, so back in just a moment with that. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Going, everybody. Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, list goes on and on. Most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And somehow I did that entire spiel while feverishly searching for the Payback pre-show, which is on right now. We'll be watching it here over the next hour, as well as taking your phone calls at 855-478-4478. Two lines today. Actually, we got about 7 lines total if you add them all together. 855-478-4478 is the figure 4 number, the sports byline number. It's 1-800-878-PLAY. You can use either of those numbers, and we'll be taking your calls starting here in the very next segment. There is Tom Phillips here on the WWE Payback pre-show doing his best Todd Pettengill impersonation here. Join the discussion. Hashtag WWE Payback is the way to communicate all of this on Twitter. Our Twitter, of course, I'm at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Semper Vivi. Sports Byline is at Sports Byline USA. You can communicate with us there. And also, you can send me emails, brian@wrestlingobserver.com. Whatever's on your mind, send it to me, and we'll read it here on the air.
This is what you missed before you turned it on. You missed Dolph Ziggler looking like he walked out in 1984.
That is his new gimmick. I don't know why.
He was 4, by the way, in 1984. You missed Booker T staring a hole through Byron Saxton, who made fun of his wave, and then debuting his comic book, G.I. Bro.
He's got a comic book?
Yes. I just tweeted out the picture of it.
Really? I did not know that. Take a look at this picture right here. Nate sent me the story about Misha Tate and Cyborg. I'll have to check that out during the break as well. But let me check out this thing here. We're opening up the lines, by the way. Phone calls after the break. 855-478-4478, 800-878-PLAY. Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478, as well as 1-800-878-PLAY. If one doesn't work, try the other. Let's go to the phones, figure 4 line. You're on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Oh, hi. My name is Paul Siebert, also known on the Wrestling Observer board as Paul Siebert. And I was a big fan of your review of Marine 4 on the Brian and Vinny show.
Oh, thank you.
And I had some movie news you may find interesting. There is a new film that was just added to Netflix this week called Russell Madness. It is about a wrestling dog with a talking monkey for a manager. And the lead heel is played by Johnny Mundo of Lucha Underground fame.
This does not surprise me one bit, actually.
And you guys have been talking about reviewing the Garbage Pail Kids movie, but I'm much more interested in hearing your thoughts on this and if you've heard anything about this film.
I just heard the other day that Johnny Mundo was in a new movie, and I barely paid any attention to it because I know he does all sorts of movies. This must have been the one that they were talking about if it just came out on Netflix. Explain this to me again. There's a wrestling dog.
Yes, it is a dog that learns how to wrestle, and its manager is a talking monkey.
Its manager is a talking monkey.
Yes, and in the trailer, Johnny Mundo cheats using a dog whistle and stuns the dog and moonsaults it.
Johnny Mundo does a moonsault onto a dog.
Now, what kind of dog is this? Is it like a golden retriever like Air Bud? Is it a St. Bernard? What kind of dog is this?
It is a Jack Russell Terrier, hence the name Russell Madness. Now, I think it was going to be called WrestleMania, but maybe the WWE's lawyers stepped in.
That's probably a pretty good... oh, my God. So Johnny Mundo read the script and still did the movie, is what you're telling me. Have you seen the movie or only the trailer?
I have only seen the trailer, but I know it is, for a fact, streaming on Netflix right now.
Do you have Netflix?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you watch the movie and then report back about whether or not it would be worth our time? Because I'm open to reviewing this movie, but I am still going to review the Garbage Pail Kids movie. I'm determined.
I see.
Here's the deal, Brian.
I have no problem doing both.
Here's the deal. It does not pay to not moonsault a dog. I mean, if you're trying to work in Hollywood and you're trying to work in movies, would you rather not work or would you rather moonsault
the
dog?
I'd rather not work.
I'm going with moonsaulting the dog. Hey, look, he's got no shot at being like, you know, Marlon Brando or Tom Hanks or Johnny Mundo. I don't think if it hasn't happened by now with the success of Batista and The Rock and other guys who have gone over and have filled niches, I don't know if it's necessarily going to happen with Morrison. So, hey, he might as well keep building towards his SAG card or whatever else it is that he's doing, because he's not exactly been playing in A-list movies here.
I want to thank Paul very much for the call and alerting us to Russell. What was it? It's not WrestleMania. It's Russell what? Have we already forgotten? Anyway, I'm sure somebody will alert me very soon. But there may be hope for Johnny Mundo. You got to say no to a role sometime. It's not like he made a lot of money for WrestleMania. I guarantee he didn't.
As long as he doesn't say no to Lucha Underground and Dario Cueto.
That's right. Say yes to Lucha Underground. Say no to WrestleMania. To the Figure Four line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Russell Madness, Brian. He only told
the
you
Russell
5 seconds
Madness.
Ago.
Right? But listen, I had and more also, important things to worry about well, than the name of the movie, like the fact that Johnny Mundo moonsaulted a dog.
Reefer Madness calls up to talk about Russell Madness.
That is ironic. Go ahead, Ed.
How do you moonsault a dog without the dog getting his legs up to block it?
Especially Russell Terrier. It's a very small dog anyway. I mean, what setup move did you use? A short arm clothesline? I mean, what was it?
I don't have the answers
to
any of these questions. It's astonishing.
And why couldn't the talking monkey go up and rip a face off, or do only chimpanzees do that?
Maybe he does. We only know the trailer.
Oh, and congratulations on getting that part, Brian.
Oh, the monkey? Very funny, Ed.
Yeah. Okay, I've heard you guys talking about Payback. I've heard you guys talk about ROA.
But you have not heard us talk about Shine 67, the big show of the weekend.
That's right. Why haven't you
took the
about
words
the
right
show?
Out
this
of his
show,
mouth?
This show was awesome, and I got to say, Mia Yim, who you said was very green, is one of the greatest workers in the world, because either she blew her knee out very early in this match and wrestled for like 10 minutes with a blown out knee, or she is the greatest seller in the history of pro wrestling because this
Ed,
match was.
Can I tell you something, Ed? Maybe we'd all take you more seriously if you didn't try to claim that Shine 67 was going to be the best show of the weekend. On a weekend where we had New Japan versus Ring of Honor, and there was a UFC show in the Philippines, and there's
NXT
Payback
shows.
Tonight with a great card, there's NXT and Lucha Underground. Maybe we'd take you more seriously if you didn't say that. And maybe I'd take you more seriously if you didn't try to tell me that Mia Yim was one of the best workers in the world.
In the world, Brian.
In the world!
Matches, my good friend, Leva Bates.
Mia Yim wouldn't tell you she's one of the best workers in the world. She would scoff at you saying such a thing.
There seem to be a couple of good ones in Japan. I don't know, women's wrestlers.
Sure.
By the way, Ed, let me help you out a little bit. Because
he didn't say
I know
women. He said one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Because I know what you like, Ed. Let me help you out. Stardom, the women's promotion in Japan, one of the bigger and better women's promotions in Japan. There's a girl wrestling there, Chelsea Diamond. Are you aware of her? The granddaughter of Jim Brunzel.
Yeah, I'm friends with her on Facebook, so I've been seeing a lot of posts that she's been posting from Stardom, along with a couple other girls that are down there from America. So yeah,
wears very tight shorts,
lot, but I do follow them.
Very, very tight shorts jammed up her rear end, and they seem to have taken to her backside almost as much, the cameramen have, almost as much as Maria in New Japan. So there's a little highlight for you.
Did you say it's Jim Brunzel's granddaughter?
Apparently, yes.
Good God, how old am I now?
I know it.
It's ridiculous. Anything else,
40, Ed? Oh, by the way, 40.
Any other, it's not 40 yet, thank you, but you're close. Any other, anything else, Ed, that you'd like to blow out of proportion here?
Yes, I am going to call it right now. The match of the night is going to be the Bella Twins versus Naomi and Tamina.
Thank you very much for the call, Ed. The match of the night, he said. It's got Tamina in it. God bless her, but it ain't going to be the match of the night.
I love Booker T's gimmick on the Payback pre-show or any of these pre-shows where he's staring off into space. He's sipping the Kickstart, like that meme of Kermit sipping the Lipton iced tea or the Lipton tea and just kind of popping only to attention when his name is mentioned.
How is Ed not called about Chelsea Diamond on a regular basis? He clearly has not been paying as much attention as he's claimed right here.
Yes, Meiko Satomura, she is not. But yeah, she's over in Japan and just getting better, I guess. But yeah, it blew me away too when it was like Jim Brunzel's granddaughter. It's like, well, I guess he was wrestling technically before I was born, but it still makes me feel old.
Oh my God. To the phones, I guess Batista's grandfather. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Hello?
Hey guys, this is Craig from Ohio.
What's up, Craig?
Yeah, I'm calling. I actually have seen that WrestleMania movie.
Oh, really? With the dog?
Yeah. I've seen it. My nephew is like 7 years old, so he made me watch it with him.
He made you.
Maybe I'll put that on for Avery. Calm him the hell down.
Yeah, that would work. How was the movie?
It may be one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I find that impossible to believe.
No, it's really bad.
Tell us a little bit about some of the highlights.
Well, remember the guy that played Cliff from Cheers?
Vaguely, yes.
John Ratzenberger?
He played like an evil Mr. McMahon type character.
Can't imagine there being a character like that in a movie like this.
Yeah, and pretty much the talking monkey may be the only highlight from the movie.
The talking monkey is the highlight.
Hey, many times in the history of TV, the talking monkey's been the highlight.
Well, yeah, I can believe that. Vinny would believe that, too. Does John Morrison really do a moonsault onto a dog?
He does, like, the Starship Pain.
Onto a dog?
Well, he does it, like a spoiler. The dog, like, moves out of the way.
Spoiler.
Now, does the dog sell well during the match?
Not very good.
Hey, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. We got to head to a break, but this is amazing news. A spoiler, he said. The dog moves out of the way. Hopefully that's not the spoiler for the main event of the movie. Back in a moment, everybody. Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. I just saw the weirdest thing in the world on the WWE Network. They're doing the pre-show for the Payback pay-per-view, and it was the Bellas talking about the match they're having tonight with Tamina Snuka and Naomi. I always call her Trinity. But anyway, God bless Brie Bella. I don't want to say anything bad about her because she seems like a sweet girl and Daniel Bryan's the nicest guy. But they asked her about Daniel Bryan and she had to give a tearful update on his condition and how hard he's fighting and how it's so hard for them. And think about this. The guy is really injured. He may never be back wrestling again. That is always a possibility. This could be the end. And she has to give an update on him, on a real-life situation with the man of her dreams. And as she's sitting there weeping and telling us a story, it sounded like acting straight out of that movie with John Morrison that we're just talking about here. It just came across as acting from start to finish, but it's real. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. I don't believe a word Brie Bella says, even though I know she's telling the truth.
Yeah, and that's the second time, too, because I think there was a Raw where it was the same sort of thing where it's like, you know, she's giving what in theory is genuine emotion about Daniel Bryan.
Should be the easiest promo in the world to cut.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, being told to go out there and try to act emotional about a real situation. She cannot method act her own life, I guess. I don't know.
Why the hell do you not just don't script it? Just say, give us an update on your husband. Try not to cry. That's it. And it'd probably be 100 times better than what I just saw.
Did you know Jack Russell Terrier in the movie wouldn't be the favorite? He is the underdog.
I'm trying to steal Ed's gimmick for the worst joke I've heard on the show all day today.
I'm retweeting out right now. Paul Siebert, who is Paul Siebert on the board, has now given us the trailer to Russell Madness. And I just saw Johnny Mundo do a Starship Pain, possibly onto a dog, but then the screen went blank to leave some drama in there, which unfortunately we've gotten the spoiler that he moves out of the way, believe it or not.
Well, I'll be playing that right now. We're taking phone calls, a bunch of numbers. You can call the Figure 4 line, 855-478-4478. The Wrestling Observer Sports Byline line is 800-878-PLAY. And you can Skype us as well today, Sports Byline 2. That's Sports Byline and the number 2 if you want to contact us here on Skype. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this? Figure Four line, and where are you calling from?
This is John from Memphis. This is actually my second time calling to the show.
What's up, John?
I was going to give my thoughts on Payback, and I'm not really that excited. I think having a pay-per-view 3 weeks after Extreme Rules just kind of made it hard to really get to any of the real stories aside from the main event.
Well, hey, wait till Elimination Chamber when you got 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm more excited for Elimination Chamber. I'm really more excited for the NXT show with the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens rematch, and the first time on the card, a two women's matches.
That's right. That's right.
Though I think Charlotte and Dana Brooke feels tacked on. It should have just been Bayley versus Emma.
Yeah, I want to thank you very much for the call. A couple of things here. First off, this is the first NXT special where I just feel like something's missing with the build-up to it. And I think part of it is because we don't know the status of Hideo Itami, who's almost certainly off the show. Sami Zayn is apparently really hurt. I don't know how badly, but he's apparently going to be working the show. But since the word is out everywhere, and it's no longer a secret that people are expecting this, I mean, people are talking about maybe Samoa Joe debuting on the show and taking the place of one of those guys. I think if it happens, it's more likely that he would take the place of Hideo Itami in the three-way, which I think would be huge. People would just go crazy. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I didn't want to bring it up, but since everybody's already talking about it, I may as well. It's something that I've at least heard discussed, but I guess we'll see what happens there. But just something missing from the build for this one.
I think you can pull a Tommy out of that match and not feel bad about it. I would actually not risk it with Sami Zayn. If he can't go or you're unsure, why not use Joe? I mean, have Owens lay Zayn out, have him go out there, be tearful, you know, whatever. You know, I'm sorry I can't go, and Owens attacks him. That way you still have that in the bank later on of Sami Zayn coming back and getting revenge on Kevin Owens, whether that be on NXT or if he's out for long enough, and heaven forbid they both make it to the WWE roster by then, or Owens does. You could always bring Zayn back on Raw because he's at least known there too, and he's coming back for revenge, and put Samoa Joe in that spot with Kevin Owens and let them, you know, just beat the tar out of each other. I think that's, you know, I would do that instead of putting him in the three-way. I could see wanting to get his feet wet a little bit in the three-way, but that match doesn't need that.
This movie looks terrible, but because of the dog, I think my wife might really enjoy it. And because
well,
it's got a monkey.
A nice moral.
Because it's got a monkey, I think that Vinny might really enjoy it. So maybe we are going to have to watch this. Thanks to Paul for sending the trailer.
Vinny old enough to remember Lance Link?
I don't know. He's my age.
The chimps. Do you remember that on TV and reruns as you were a kid?
No. Lance Link.
Yes. The chimp. I think he was an investigator. I can't remember exactly what it was. It was very young when it was on, but yes. And they would, I think, put like peanut butter into the monkey's mouths, so they would make it look like they were talking. I guess they kind of did the same thing to Mr. Ed, the talking horse.
I don't remember this at all. You're much
somebody
older than me,
this.
So.
That is untrue.
Sure, it'll be on Twitter in a second. Oh, man. Squish the dog there with that move? That ain't right.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right, let's go to the Sports Byline USA number. You are on the air. Jason in California, what's up?
Hey, what's up? I read the Irv Muchnick book on Benoit, and one of the things I wanted to ask you guys about was the Cyril Weck, the forensic pathologist in Pittsburgh. He was he was on trial at the time under a federal indictment for corruption or something. And during this time, he called the coroner in Georgia and tried to interfere with the investigation into Benoit. What do you know about that? And why would Cyril Weck do that?
I don't know. I want to thank you very much for the call. I don't know a lot about it. I knew Chris Benoit. I followed the story very, very closely. I was all over the place. I talked to all sorts of people during that. And Chris Benoit killed his family, and then he killed himself. And for crying out loud, I do a show called After Dark Radio. If anybody's going to believe in a conspiracy, it would be me. And there's no conspiracy here. It was not Kevin Sullivan. It was not somebody else. Chris Benoit killed his family, and then he killed himself. That's the end of the story. I don't know why everybody's calling about that today, but...
people do that. I guess it's just trolling or looking for attention.
I don't think
but
it
it's
is.
Like, Well, if it's not, I mean, people flip out and lose their minds and kill people and their families, and murder suicides happen all over the world, you know, much less in the United States. It happens all of the time. And it goes, you know, look what Ray Carruth killed his girlfriend, NFL. I mean, it goes across everything. So if these are not real, I mean, I just wonder the reality that people live in, where just because it happened with a professional wrestler, it happens all of the time. People lose their minds and this type of thing happens. It's terrible that it happens, but it happens. Why there's a conspiracy attached to this that's not trolling is almost
troubling.
I'll tell
you why. It's because he was a great wrestler. And there are people that cannot believe that the great wrestler Chris Benoit lost his mind at the end and killed his family. Like I said, I knew him. I talked to him many times. He was the nicest guy when we talked on the phone. I was one of those guys who couldn't believe he did it either, but guess what? He did. Sometimes terrible things happen in this lifetime that you can't explain and you'll never be able to explain. Although, I think it's, I don't want to say fairly easy to explain this, but he destroyed his brain. He destroyed his frontal lobe. And when things like that happen, when you have damage to your frontal lobe, your whole personality changes. You do crazy things. I mean, really, it shouldn't even be that much of a mystery. A horrible thing happened because of damage that he caused to himself. And he did a terrible thing, and that's just the end of the story. There's no conspiracy, nothing. It's just what happened. I don't know why people
go
keep
nuts, and
this.
Frankly, it's unfair.
I'm going to go nuts here.
I say it's unfair to everybody's families, and when they bring up the Kevin Sullivan, it's none of these people deserve this anymore of just dragging this out. So just stop.
Let's go to the phones. Figure Four line. You're on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
It's John from Arkansas.
Yes, John.
And I promise I will not bring that topic up.
Thank you.
Oh my God! And to Mike's earlier mention of the chimpanzee thing, I remember that, and I'm not that old. I'm only 35.
Maybe I was just in a non monkey area.
You didn't get the Lance Link show. You didn't get the monkeys on MTV when they brought them back. Just no monkeys.
No, I saw the monkeys.
At any time.
I did see the monkeys, and I had the
Were
Muppet
you inspired?
Show. I had the Muppet Show, but I didn't have. Yeah, I was a big fan of the monkeys.
Was there a monkey on the Muppet Show, though?
Well, I'm sure they had a monkey here and there. It was the 60s.
I've often wondered if monkeys are writing some of WWE's current plans. That's just me.
Hey, maybe that's going to be the next movie after this one here with Air Bud Films, by the way, apparently put this together. That's a shocker.
Hey, go with what works one time and beat it into the ground a million.
That's right. That's right. I was a big fan of the monkeys. When I was little, I looked like Davy Jones.
Really? You had the little bowl cut and everything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you should see some of the... I want to thank you very much, John. Sorry it was a quick call, but we got to head to a break here. You should have seen some of the haircuts I had. I had every bad haircut there was. And then, when I hit about 35, for some reason, new terrible haircuts were invented that I somehow never had. So I can look at wrestling and MMA and find people with much worse haircuts than I ever had, which at one point in my life I thought would be impossible to top. Back in a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. The pre-show match getting ready to kick off at Payback. So you can check that out. Oh, by the way, the phone number is 855-478-4478 is the figure four number. The byline number, 800-878-PLAY. You can also Skype us at Sports Byline 2. That is Sports Byline, the number 2. To the figure 4 line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up? It's Dave.
Yes, Dave.
Yeah, that was Irv Muchnick that reported that about Ciro Wack. Are you saying he's a liar and he's making...
All right, he's out of here. I'm sick of Benoit today. I'm sick of it. Did that guy call back, by the way? That is prohibited on this show to call back.
Banned.
That's right. Banished.
To make you feel a little bit better, though, in a text, and I'll tweet it out as well, too, the Chelsea-Chris Wolf match from the Cinderella tournament that was taking place in Stardom, which features how they are going to feature one Chelsea Diamond, granddaughter of Jumpin' Jim Brunzel.
By the way, what does anything have to do with whether I think that Irv Muchnick was lying about that? Irv Muchnick did not say that someone else killed Chris Benoit. He made a comment about somebody else. I don't know if it's true or not. If it is true, it still has nothing to do with whether Chris Benoit killed his family.
Exactly.
To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Yes, Jim.
I was listening to you and Mike talking about the chimp cartoon. It was called Lancelot Link, Secret Chimp.
That sounds familiar. Yes. What did you call it, Mike?
Lance Link, Secret Chimp.
Oh, Lance. If you said Lancelot, I might have known.
Sorry.
I was thinking Lance Storm and a monkey.
Do you want the technical names for the banana splits, too, or do you remember them?
Yeah, I remember the banana splits.
I love the banana splits, too. They all dressed up in costumes most of the time.
Yeah, they were terrifying.
That's the H.R. Puffin stuff.
I remember H.R. Puffin stuff as well.
Cartoons.
Anything else you want to date me with? You want to talk about Car 54? Where are you?
Yeah. I'm going to ask you, I heard the Lucha Doctor on the other day, and just wondering, how come he never talks anything about Mexican women's wrestling?
He does occasionally
when there's a story.
Yeah, some of the biggest things in Mexico tend to be like AAA having CMLL has the bodybuilding competition, which Sarah Stock does really well in or did and things like that. I mean, as far as the hardcore, you know, women's only scene. I mean, really, there's only a lot to talk about seemingly in these promotions mixed into matches where there's, men on the card or men involved now with like things like Sexy Star and Lucha Underground.
Did y'all get a chance to see TNA this week?
I have not seen TNA yet. What did I miss?
Well, I was just going to talk about the women's thing. Mike would get a kick out of it. Taryn Terrell was showing off her body.
That sounds fun.
I have no problem with that.
Hey, I'm a big fan of Taryn Terrell. She is not one of the best wrestlers in the world, however.
I know it. And they really
I'd like to find out.
Minnie Yim looks bad on that, too. The matches I've seen of her, she's a whole lot better than what I've seen of her on TNA.
And so you're saying that Mia Yim has not looked her best on Impact?
No, they've got some kind of dumb finisher that I've never seen her use before, her and Marty Bell. And it's just, I mean, maybe it'll get better or something. I mean, you know, it's still got the creepy effect, like you were talking about earlier. But I don't know how far, I don't know if it's got legs. I don't know how long it's going to last, you know, this dollhouse thing.
Well, I don't know how long TNA is going to last. I want to thank you very much for the call, Jim. I should mention here that I was sent a link to the Wikipedia for Lancelot Link Secret Chimp. And the very first thing I see is, this page has some issues.
Page has some issues?
This page has some issues. Sounds like this show. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Matt in St. Louis.
What's up, Matt?
Hey, I watched the ROH pay-per-view on Friday, and it was excellent. And I thought there was going to be a card on Saturday, and I went to the ROH website, and it said there was going to be a show, but there was no pay-per-view, or I just didn't find it. Was there a show last night on iPay-Per-View with ROH?
There was a show last night, but it was not on iPay-Per-View. The only iPay-Per-View show was Friday's. The shows that they did on Wednesday and Thursday and Saturday are all going to be available on video on demand a little bit later this week. I think Wednesday's show will be available Monday, maybe actually both of them. But yes, they did have a show on Saturday night. In fact, Steve here just emailed and said, had a good time at the show on Saturday, my first ROH show, more than worth the $20. His only complaint was it was very long. It was a TV taping. So actually, yeah, Saturdays will not be on video on demand. I'm sorry, that one was a TV taping, so you'll see that show on television. But the Wednesday and Thursday shows will be on video on demand on Monday.
Seamus is mohawk in full effect tonight, by the way.
Yes. Go ahead, caller. What was that?
Well, I was just going to say, it seems like it's getting a little expensive to be an ROH fan. I'm pretty dedicated to the product. I think it's excellent, but it's been worth my money so far. So I'll definitely get those shows on video on demand. It's just finding the time to watch, and that's going to be the problem, I guess, not the money so much.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. Once you buy the video on demand, it's in your library forever, and so you've got forever to watch it. And Dave did get the... Dave Meltzer talked to people who'd been to all three, the iPay-Per-View and the other two, and apparently the other two, particularly Wednesday, blew away the iPay-Per-View. So if you saw the iPay-Per-View, the video on demands will be worth your money if you're a fan of Ring of Honor. And yes, that is a phenomenal mohawk.
And he looks to be intimidating your boy Tom Phillips there, so even better.
I don't think that's hard. You know, the only reason he had his hair down the other day was because he came out in a cap, and his cap fell off. And it's very hard to wear a cap when you've got your mohawk spiked up like that.
Maybe you need to get like a smaller, more gimmicky hat, like one a talking monkey would wear.
Hey,
and just like kind of set it up there, like a little baby bowler up top.
Speaking of that,
yes,
the cap that Seamus wears,
mm-hmm.
as well as Mortimer Chimp or whatever the name of the thing was. This can all tie together into my favorite book as a child, Caps for Sale. Do you remember this book?
No.
There was a monkey, and he had a whole bunch of caps, like the one that Seamus wears. And he had a big stack of them, and the book was called Caps for Sale. And when I was little, I read that book a million times. I wanted a cap like that. So that's your tie-in right there.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that, because he's like wearing like the large stack of hats.
That's right.
And then sells them off one by one.
That's right.
I'll be damned.
855-478-4478 is the phone number. The sports byline number is 1-800-878-PLAY. You can Skype us if you are international. Sports byline 2 is the number to Skype if you would like to contact us there. Once again, it is sports byline 2 is the Skype handle. And they are plugging Wednesday's NXT show right now on the WWE Network. We're getting ready for the Payback show, which is coming up. And in other news, very quickly, if you missed the UFC fight night last night, Frankie Edgar beat Uriah Faber 50-45 in pretty much the closest decision you'll ever see. They essentially almost tied every round, but Frankie Edgar eked it out 5 times, and so he won with what looks like a lopsided 50-45, but in reality was very, very close. They never had each other in danger. Frankie Edgar will almost certainly be next in line for a championship match. And also on that show, Mark Munoz retired after defeating Luke Barnett in a very emotional scene. He did a great promo, and it was something else. So check that out. I know the footage of Mark Munoz's promo is online, so you can find that somewhere. And The Dissension is on their way to the ring right now for their match with the Meta Powers, Mike.
I'll just throw this out there real, real quick. I tweeted out one of those Chelsea matches from Stardom. All you really have to do is watch about the first 15 seconds and the last 15 seconds of that match. But the Ascension coming out, looking like the Ascension here. And we're running out of time on this pre-show, so I don't expect this to be too much of an epic here.
No, they're busy showing everything leading into it, so I presume we're going to get a very, very short match. I'm going to make a prediction right now. And we are live, so perhaps you can call this a live spoiler. I predict this match is a squash. I predict that they go in there, and the Meta Powers do every single Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage spot there is, and they win very, very quickly. And then maybe the Ascension beats them up afterwards. I'm going to either be a prognosticator or a fool in about 5 minutes here, because we only have 11 minutes until the pay-per-view starts. And they are wasting their time here as they build this up. The entrance right now for the Meta Powers is about to begin. I can only imagine. Here comes Macho Mandow. He is coming out in his Macho Man outfit. He actually, I hate to say it, he looks like every fan you've ever seen at a WWE wrestling show who decided he wanted to come dressed up like the Macho Man.
And his overweight grandmother's silver house robe that he's got on. And finally, is Curtis Axel finally wearing yellow and red? Good.
I believe he, yep, he's,
it
oh my God.
Took enough time.
I actually thought that was Hulk Hogan for a second. he came out dressed like Hulk Hogan. Everybody's going crazy. And
complete with mustache.
You know what's funny about this? Craig and Vinny both mentioned this the other day, but Sandow's gimmick is that he's an impersonator, and he impersonated Miz and everything like that. He does a horrible Macho Man impersonation. And of the two of them, Curtis Axel is doing a way better Hulk Hogan than Sandow is. I, honest to God, if before I got LASIK, I wore glasses, obviously. And if it were back in those days and I wasn't wearing my glasses, I would have. And in fact, when he first came out, I thought that was Hulk Hogan. So Curtis Axel is doing a phenomenal Hulk Hogan impersonation here. And unfortunately, I cannot say the same for Sandow.
Did he even wear the the gold crucifix chain that Andre ripped. He's got it on.
I know, and he can't get it off. It's a problem. He's got the apparently he grew out the goatee, and he has bleached it. He's clearly got a wig on, obviously, and the bandana, and he's ripped off his deal. Oh, he just got booted in the gut. Again, I don't think this is going to last long, everybody. Let's take a call here as we're recapping this. You're on the air in the middle of an epic battle here. Who is this and where are you calling from? Hello? Going
Chief
once.
Caller couldn't join us because he was watching the network, too.
He's greatly distracted by this. I'm just going to leave the caller here on the air. Maybe he fell asleep as we're recapping this. There's the big boot by Curtis Axel. He's going for the leg drop. And honest to God, with the exception of hitting the ropes, he moves exactly like Hulk Hogan. It's actually kind of creepy here. Could be the same guy. Hey, caller, if you're awake, you're on the air.
Who do you think's got a better range of motion in his legs right now? Curtis Axel's grandfather, Larry the Axe Henning, or the actual Hulk Hogan?
I'm not sure, but speaking of older wrestlers, we're going to be joined on Tuesday by Harley Race. Many-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion, a legend, a Hall of Famer, Harley Race is going to be on the program. And I was wrong. They're getting the heat on Axel Mania right now, whose bandana, amazingly, has still not fallen off, which I can't even believe, to be honest with you.
Sorry, just the look at his face when they just Axel turned towards the camera being stuck in this chin lock with the cheeks kind of puffing out there and the bulging eyes of when the Hulkster would be locked in one.
Fans are clapping to get him back to his feet. He now just hit a big Hulk Hogan back suplex, and he is adjusting his bandana and making his way to the hot tag for Mandow. We still have a caller on the line. I don't know why he's not talking, but I can hear his line. So, caller, anytime you want to... make the tag, you're welcome to. Up, too late, we're going to break. Back in a moment with the conclusion of this match, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Man, rarely have I been so wrong. The match is over, and the Meta Powers defeated by the Dissension. Clean! They hit their finisher on Mandow and pinned him clean in the middle of the ring. So much for that poor guy. What can you do? Kane's Tights are up on Twitter. If you'd like to follow them, they are at Canes_tights. And Canes Tights say, I'm ready to go! Hashtag wear the tights, Kane. Check that out. The Payback pay-per-view is going to begin here in about 3 minutes. And, of course, we're going to be following it live at WrestlingObserver.com. And later on tonight, two brand new shows only for subscribers. Myself and Vinny are going to be running down the show immediately after it goes off the air. And then later on in the evening, myself, Dave Meltzer, Filthy Tom Lawler of UFC... we're all going to be talking about the show. 2 hours of audio coming up tonight, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Not only do you get all of the new shows, but every show we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available in our archives, over 7,000 hours of audio if you sign up now. If you like this show, I guarantee you'll love a subscription, so don't miss out. It's a great day to do it. 3 shows today, more shows coming up tomorrow. And don't forget, we're always here Monday through Friday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. If you're listening on a replay, once again, Sports Byline USA, noon Pacific every day. And we just got breaking news. Steve Austin's podcast is back on the WWE Network. So we'll talk about that news tonight on the show and more. So thanks, everybody. Thanks to folks at Sports Byline, Mike, all the callers and more. Talk to you again tomorrow. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.